One.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Midcasters. This is episode 12. I'm your co-host Jalen, and this is
your favorite film TikToker and comic reviewer, Craig.
Awesome. And today we have a bunch of news from D23, which was some lingering information that we get from Marvel and Disney, but this is all Disney dedicated. Joaquin Phoenix dropping out of a movie, Jenna Ortega, Borderlands bombing at the box office, and maybe a Britney Spears biopic. But let's dive into some first things that we got going on. Craig, is Marvel canceling Blade? Are they recasting? Are they giving up and moving on? And with the main actor playing Blade doing Jurassic World 4, I don't feel any type of hope whatsoever that this movie is continuing, especially since we did not get any announcements at D23.
Honestly, that film has been in development hell for 5 years. And that's when they first announced the cast, and I was very excited about it, but the more time went on, I don't know what happened. People started getting less excited about it because there was no forward progress when it came to getting the production of that film started, because something in my head was telling me it's a creative difference, because they had two directors leave the project.
Exactly. From the change of directors, change of writers, change of creative differences, and especially with Deadpool 3 and us seeing Blade, the original Blade of Wesley Snipes, and that joke about him being the only Blade, I really don't feel confident. If I was the actor that was cast as Blade and the movie still wasn't made, I would have dropped out. But I get that things get caught in development. But I was kind of confused that there was nothing from D23 about it. But we did get a lot of great information from D23. And starting off with, if I can pull it up, with some of the stuff that we got announcements for. We have, obviously, Ironheart. I guess it's still a show. Daredevil, Born Again. We also have, more Fantastic Four footage, which I found atrocious because I was not vibing with that suit whatsoever. Captain America, Brave New World. That Hulk did not look like Hulk. What If Season 3 will be the last season? We have Marvel Zombies, which I forgot about. We have a Spider-Man animation series. And then I guess they're doing more X-Men 97. But we have some other good news too with Star Wars, which I'm personally excited for. Skeleton Crew, Andor Season 2, the movie Mandalorian and Grogu, which will be the conclusion of them. Also some amazing Disney news. We have Moana 2, which I don't know who's excited for because it has The Rock. Toy Story 5. Incredibles 3, Frozen 3, and Avatar, Fire and Ash, which when I first read it said Fire and Fish, but whatever. But what are you most excited for? What were you kind of hoping we're going to get announced at G23? Me personally, I was confused why we didn't get anything with the Thunderbolts, but whatever. And just not having a slate like we normally get. What are your thoughts?
Honestly, I'm not surprised that it's a bunch of sequels. I'd much rather see, you know, new stuff, but the last Incredibles was so-so. The first one's way better. I would prefer the Incredibles 3 to be like a prequel of during the heyday of the superheroes, when everyone loved them, before everyone started getting sued and stuff like that after Mr. Incredible say that people from the train. I'd like to see like a prequel, you know, when everyone loved the heroes. That'd be great. But as far as everything else, The Rock is a better actor in animation. I'm sorry.
That's true. No, you're accurate in that statement.
And everything else, I didn't watch Frozen 2 because I hated that movie. I saw Frozen once, and that stupid Let It Go song was stuck in my head for weeks because my classmates kept singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, Marvel, I'm burnt out. I'm exhausted. I think they need to work on the animation department. And mm-hmm. when I say animation, I mean separate from the MCU. Separate the MCU from your animated stuff. The animated mm-hmm. stuff doesn't have to be connected to the MCU.
Exactly. I was kind of confused that we didn't get a slate that we traditionally get, but I was more excited for Star Wars because Star Wars seems to know what they're doing. Skeleton Crew looks really good. I never finished The Acolyte, so I can't comment on that because that show was atrocious, so I just stopped watching it. The Mandalorian and Grogu looks really good. From my understanding, it will be another season, and then the movie will be like the conclusion of their story. But people are like worried about Pedro Pascal in it. And I'm like, well, he's only voicing the character. He's not in that suit 99% of the time. So I don't have any issue there. I'm surprised we didn't hear any more about the other stuff they were doing with their films, like Taika Waititi's film, Dave Filoni's film. Unfortunately, Sean Levy, because I just don't think he needs to be doing a film for them. But that's not the point. It's a lot of good things. I think I like D23 just because they own so much and it just feels really authentic and genuine for the fans. Whereas when you go to San Diego Comic-Con, it's just like,
eh. Yeah, like madness.
Yeah. It seemed like a lot less people. They have a bigger hall, like a whole arena for like their panels. So that's very pleasant. I still think San Diego Comic-Con needs to take note and maybe even put it into the Padres stadium because it's like literally right there and it's about getting the fans involved. But I honestly think Marvel, Star Wars, anything from like the Disney company should move to D23 and like move away from San Diego Comic-Con. But that's just my personal preference on that. I feel like they withhold a lot of things and I don't think that's necessarily fair to the fans and everybody who pays to go just for like a specific thing.
That sounds like a lot of just based on a lot of the stuff I've seen online of San Diego Comic-Con. It just seems like a big headache trying to get into those panels.
It's a very inaccessible Comic-Con in general, but you're spending nights waiting in line, which I didn't do. You're spending days waiting in lines. Everything's either capped off or you have to be in a special lottery to get into it. And it's just more of a headache. And it's just so clustered with people. I think they oversell and they just cram as many people as they possibly can. Where I saw like D23 and it's just like, it doesn't look crammed. It doesn't look forced. It looks genuine. And it just looks like it's really for the fans, which is what I appreciate. And I think they should move away from San Diego, especially with the Comic-Con maybe leaving San Diego over the price gouging, which I don't blame them.
While we're at it, I forgot to ask, what is your take on the Snow White, the live action Snow White?
I thought there was not going to be the seven dwarves, so I was confused to see them, but I was confused to also see it CGI'd when there's so many little people actors out there that are really good at their jobs.
That it just absolutely felt
really weird. I mean, her singing is great. I'm excited to see what she does with the part. I mean, I know Greta Gerwig had wrote part of it, and I haven't heard them market that any way, shape, or form, which I think is a letdown. Sadly, you have Gal Gadot. Honestly, I don't know why this movie took so long. It doesn't seem that difficult to make a movie, but whatever. I don't think it's going to do good at the box office. I think it will do okay, maybe break even at the box office, but I don't think it's going to like do what Beauty and the Beast did.
I'm mainly gonna pass up on it because Gal Gadot's in it.
Yeah, I wanted to see it just because of Greta Gerwig, her writing it or helping write it. But I just felt really weirded out by like all of a sudden there's Snow White fans who are like diehard saying that it's a disrespect to change the story. I'm like, I'm sorry, she's living with seven strange men. Like that's weird. It's a the movie was made in the y'all, no one was ever a fan of Snow White. That's the least favorite princess in my opinion. I just thought it was funny that now all of a sudden they switched up as soon as they saw her in Hunger Games.
That's exact. Speaking of switching up, it's funny when when she got a lot of backlash for like her opinion on the original Snow White, which I don't know anyone who says Snow White is their favorite Disney movie. So
Yeah,
I
no,
don't.
I've never heard of it either. It was made in the 20s. It's really outdated. I would probably say sexist. It definitely needs to be freshened up because there hasn't been like an adaptation of it. Maybe probably like a musical or something, but like not like what we got with Beauty and the Beast, which I thought was an exceptional movie.
Right. And
I
hell, when
just,
she got backlash, she switched up.
Exactly. It's just so weird, and I don't know why this movie took so long. It's not hard to rewrite a script, but I get what they wanted to do. Just weird that they didn't use actual people as the Seven Dwarves. But that's neither here nor there. But moving into some other backlash that we're seeing, Jenna Ortega has opened up about some shame that she's being made to feel that she doesn't feel like a good enough representative for her community, and people are calling her a fake Latina because she doesn't speak Spanish. Let's start here. She's from California, so she grew up in California, so she just didn't grow up speaking Spanish, and obviously there's nothing wrong with that, and I think it's insane that people are like shaming her for things and not speaking up, but they don't want celebrities to speak up on things, but then they do. And I just feel like it's very hypocritical. And they need to leave her alone. She hasn't done anything wrong. She's a great actress. The only thing that she probably did that was a little, oh, was like when she said that she kind of helped write some things for Wednesday, the show, which I feel like is fine. But obviously, people are going to take whatever you say out of context. But what do you think about Jenna Ortega as an actor, and all these comments made towards her?
I absolutely love her as an actor. She's like I view her kind of like my TV little sister. I think if a lot of people have no idea what they're talking about, you don't have to speak. If you're from another culture, so a lot of people from other cultures don't know how to speak their language. Like my Spanish teacher in high school, she when I was taking her class, she said that she speaks to her son in Spanish, but her husband speaks to their son in English.
I don't
So
think there's necessarily anything wrong with it. I think people are just gonna find any type of way to bring somebody down that's more successful, and it's honestly sad. She's young, she's a good actress, she has a lot to do. She does a lot for her community, and I think people want to compare her with Melissa Barrera, who is from Mexico, who is hugely advocating for a lot of things in the communities, which I think is amazing. And I think people just need to stop with this.
yeah, I think that I think she there are people that like you can understand a language but not be able to speak it. Like I'm pretty sure she can understand it, she just can't speak it.
I think it's just because she's younger, they're gonna do what they can to tear her down. And it's very sad.
Right.
Oh
And
my
she
gosh.
said And she has said that that she's, I don't know if she's still trying to learn, but she said that her mother has tried to teach her Spanish. I don't know if she's currently trying, still trying to learn, but if she does, great. If she doesn't, I mean, whatever. That doesn't take away her heritage.
Exactly. We have a lot of backlash this week. And another backlash that we have is Joaquin Phoenix has dropped out of his next film with Todd Haynes, 5 days before it was set to shoot, saying he had cold feet. But what's weird is he's the one who brought this film forward. He's the one who advocated to tell this story. And there is no inkling on why he dropped out. But now people are out of jobs. So studios are going to take a loss. The crew's going to take a loss. They did all this work and you can't just recast it, sadly. But what are your thoughts on this? And what do you think the reason is for it truly? Because I don't think he bit off more than he can chew because he brought this forward. He advocated to do this film.
Well, I would be highly upset if I was the director, unless it's, they had a falling out and, maybe he felt uncomfortable working. Maybe it was a working condition, but I don't, that's the first time I've ever heard something like that happen. I don't know what could be the problem. I would like to find out what exactly happened. Maybe he maybe had something to do with the script, or maybe he just changed his mind at the last minute and decided, this seemed like a good idea, and then probably got cold feet, but I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I mean, he brought this film, and I think maybe it was important for him to tell a story like this because it does follow a story between 2 minutes and 30s, rated NC-17. I saw some blind items from Dumois, and I know take that with a grain of salt, that this movie was on the borderline of essentially being porn. And we've all seen Poor Things, and that's porn. I don't think it has anything to do with the material. Maybe there was accusations made against him, maybe something happened in his personal life, but I do think this will affect him finding roles down the line, and I think this will affect the box office of Joker 2, and I think it will affect award season for that film as well. Just being like, something doesn't seem right about this guy, seems unreliable.
And when it comes to, Joker 2, I know everyone's going to be seated for that. I'm still iffy on that because I wasn't really a fan of the first one, but I do love Lady Gaga.
Exactly. I do think I think it will be affected award season wise. I just think this will leave a bad taste in studios' mouths. Just kind of disappointing that he did do this and he's not traditionally known for doing this, or maybe he is and we don't know. Just seems very weird. But let's move on to some other news that we got. And this is probably no surprise with anybody that the Borderlands bombs at the box office. And who's in their bad era now? Jamie Lee Curtis. It scored a 0% at first. And then good old Grace Randolph, who we love, gave it like a good score. And then it moved up to, I think it's currently at 4% right now. It's only made like $8.8 million at the box office, and it was beaten by a movie that has, I'm not even going into that movie, but what are your thoughts on this? What do you think about this film?
Honestly, video game adaptions should be TV shows. You cannot squeeze so much into 2 hours. And especially if I feel like you'll get more out of a TV show, like the way they did, God, what was the recent video game that they adapted on Amazon Prime?
Halo?
No, not. I'm blanking. I can't remember. It'll come back to me later. I'm blanking right now.
But I know they have Halo. That's all I know.
I do know that when it comes to if you're going to adapt a video game, it should be a TV series because you get to see the character. There's more character growth.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think. That's how I feel about book adaptations too. Like if there's enough material in it, then yes, a show is perfect, but sometimes it's good as a movie as well. I'm very surprised that this did better than Blake Lively's It Ends With Us, which is just a disgusting human being. Have you heard of It Ends With Us?
I have no idea what the book is about.
It's essentially, trigger warning for anybody affected by DV. It is about domestic violence, and her character is abused by one of the main actors, who is also the director of the film. And the fact that it's being marketed as a rom-com and that a chick flick, grab your girlies and your florals and go see the movie. And her, Blake Lively, also using it to market her hair care line and more of Deadpool and Wolverine, and having her husband and Hugh Jackman involved in this movie, not even in the movie, just like involved in the press, is absolutely disgusting and tone deaf. What are your thoughts on just the tone deafness of not staying true to the material, and that it's not being respectful to what's actually occurring, and just, you know, like using your platform for good to advocate for domestic violence victims?
This is exactly what happened for May, December. Remember when that it got put in the comedy during Golden Globes, and everyone's like, it's not a comedy. Which it isn't. It's a traumatic experience about a young boy that got
abused,
manipulated into being in this relationship with this older woman who's a predator. But you know, a lot of dudes look at it like it reminded me of this South Park episode where Kyle's little brother was having this thing with his teacher, and everyone's like, but she's hot.
It's gross. It just is very tone deaf. And the more that I read into Ends With Us and Blake Lively, I remembered she got married on a plantation, and then she had either a store or a blog that essentially romanticizes like the slavery times, which I was like, how does she have work still? Because her behaviors, her comments, her attitudes, her tone deafness is just completely unacceptable. And the fact that you're using this to help market Deadpool and Wolverine and try to make this Barbenheimer and just falsely advertise to people is just disgusting.
Right.
Yeah. Antebellum, I think it was called something Antebellum. It was like romanticizing those times, which I just felt really, nothing has ever set right with me about that. It's sad. I just feel like films need to be marketed properly. And just paying respects if it's like a difficult subject, like May, December, like it would have been a good potential for them to like use their platform to like advocate for victims of.
Yeah, I don't, that confuses me so much. It's like when they constantly keep putting the bear in comedy. The bear is not a comedy, it's a drama.
Yeah, it's a dramedy, is what I would consider it. And it just brings the attention to just like movies that are advertising is certain things, but not actually that, should not be allowed. Like I know now there's like laws in place where you can't put certain things in trailers to like derail what the consumer is thinking, because we all remember that someone sued because Ana de Armas was in the trailer but wasn't in the movie, like Let It Be, I think it was. And we all know Marvel's really famous with doing that. Like they did like Hulk in Infinity Wars in the trailer, but he was never Hulk the entire movie.
Yeah.
It's just, it's very weird. And I think false advertising, especially when it comes to sensitive subjects, is just unacceptable. And I can't believe she was using it to market her hairline, but that's not the point. Moving on to our next subject. I know you probably watched this. I've never seen it myself. The Umbrella Academy has officially ended, and it's being considered the biggest disappointment for a series finale since Game of Thrones. I don't know, since Game of Thrones, because I was really disappointed by the Killing Eve series finale, but what are your thoughts on this?
I still have yet to see the finale of Umbrella Academy. My sister is rewatching it from the beginning before she watches the new season. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably squeeze it in sometime this week and review it. But if that's the case, then I wonder what the hell they did to piss people off so bad.
Exactly. I know. I mean, I know Game of Thrones was not necessarily everybody's favorite, but you also have to remember the books are not even done. So they had to do what they had to do. And I get it. People don't like it. I understand it. But it just makes me think, like, what are some of the worst series finales that I've seen? How I Met Your Mother is one. That was a really bad last season. Killing Eve was a really bad last season. There's a lot of other examples. But we have some other news, and I don't know if it's positive, and I don't know if it's negative, but I guess Britney Spears' The Woman in Me is being turned into a movie by Universal Pictures. What do you think about that? Who do you think they should cast? Is it too early to even be doing a biopic about Britney Spears since she is still alive and traditionally biopics aren't done until they have passed away? Is there a trend of biopics being done too early? What do you think?
Well, Rock, what's the name? Elton John got one and he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I typically don't like musicals, but I absolutely love Rocket Man. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's too early for Britney to get one. I think she should definitely be a consultant on the film. And as far as who should play her, I'm not too sure.
I think maybe an unknown actress would probably be a better fit. Maybe not like what they did with the Amy Winehouse travesty, which is not a biopic in any way, shape, or form. Sometimes I think it is too early, because I know Madonna's doing one, but she's like, I think she's directing it or producing it, which I'm like, is okay, that's kind of weird, but whatever. I just feel like maybe biopics should be done once the person has passed away.
Oof.
Because they still have life to live. They are still doing things in this life. And I just think sometimes it's like disrespectful, it's too soon.
I think that, I mean, she was one of, I did do a video about artists that should receive one, and she was one of them that I added to the list. But the reason I think that it's not too early is because mainly because I think that it's the best way to get information from the source themselves.
No, I guess that's a good point when you make it. I think when I'm thinking of biopics, I'm thinking of something with Marilyn Monroe or Liz Taylor or someone that's passed away, like, what do you call him? What's his name? Elvis Presley. Like, those make sense because they're passed away. You have all this information. You have these firsthand experiences, and I don't know. It's just, I think I'm indifferent about it. I'll still watch it. I just think that maybe it would be better if it's like an unknown actor. Like, sure, there's tons of other actors out there who are like amazing, can sing, all of that. But I think this one needs to be done with the utmost respect just because she's been through so much in her life.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah, but hopefully it turns out good. We shall see. But I thought we could finish off this episode with some fun questions provided by Craig. So let's start with the first one. Are there any TV shows or movies that you started that you just never finished?
I'll let you go first.
Oh gosh. I'm gonna start off strong with this one. I fell asleep during Free Guy because it was boring. It was not entertaining. I saw it for Judy Kumar, but I did fall asleep. So I guess technically I did not finish it. And will I ever watch it again? Absolutely not. Another one was Hellboy 2019. I walked right out of that theater. And that is the only theater I've ever walked out of. A show I never finished was Gossip Girl. That was boring. I'm sorry. And I could have told you who the who that person was from the very beginning.
And for a minute, I was like, wait a minute, Free Guy? And then I just looked it up on Letterboxd, Ryan freaking Reynolds. Oh, God.
I'm glad all these things are coming out about them because, like, people are going to realize he's not a good actor. He plays himself in every movie. His wife plays herself in every movie. There is, like, no substance, and it's just a very boring and bland performance every time I've seen him.
I will say the only movie I've seen her in I actually like is The Shallows, and that's only because it has a shark in
Yeah, that's why I watched it, is because I
it.
really like shark movies. And I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting, but also kind of boring. But they also could have got somebody else to play in this movie. But that's neither here nor nor there. But what films or TV shows for you, Craig?
God, I stopped House of what's the show called? How I Met Your Mother. After I watched up to season five and never got back to it, figured out what happened at the end, and I was like, well, no need for me to keep watching. And plus, I felt like it peaked during season five.
The last season's bad. It like takes place over the course of a few days.
Oh, I absolutely, yeah,
It was
I'll
weird.
pass on that.
Yeah, and then it's just like, okay, well, the mother wasn't Robin, but he still ended up getting married to her in the end anyways. And it's just, I don't know, there was no build up. It was just kind of bland and boring, so I don't blame you.
And what was it? Moon Knight. I saw the first episode, and that was it. Star Wars: The Clone Wars, the animated series. I'm on, I think there's like eight seasons or something. I'm on season five right now. God, currently watching. Also, Full Metal Alchemist, which is an anime, and I'm 10 episodes away from finishing before the sequel series, which I haven't watched that in like a month or so, just because I think I got distracted by Game of Thrones.
That's valid. That's valid. I got another topic that you suggested, and I don't know if this is going to bring crap coming our way, but what are some bad movies with great acting performances? And I'll go first since I have a good list that might turn some heads. Poor Things. I cannot stand that movie. First half was great. It's good. It's cool. But it just kept going. And then it became a porno. And I'm just like, what is this atrocity? I still don't know why she got an Oscar for it. But it was still a good performance by her. Next, I'm sorry, Christopher Nolan fans, but The Prestige. I'm sorry. A movie about magic. And they're just like trying to out magic each other. And then Scarlett Johansson's like in the middle of them. You got Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. But then Scarlett Johansson, like, it's just dumb. Like, the magic movie, it just is stupid. It just I mean, I'd love to see Scarlett work with him again because Christopher Nolan is a good director, but the movie's atrocious. Next up, Saltburn. I feel like I don't have to say.
Oh my God, yes.
Barry Keoghan, the man that you are. Next up, Thor: Love and Thunder was atrocious. But Natalie Portman was really good. I cried, okay? I didn't even know how attached I was to Jane Foster until she died in the movie. Spoilers if you haven't seen it. Chris Hemsworth was okay, but he peaked at Thor Ragnarok. But this one was picked for Natalie Portman because she's amazing.
Yeah. I complete 100% agree. I cried during Thor Love and Thunder, and I didn't even see it coming at all. When she said that she had cancer, I was like, no, I ain't crying. I just got soda in my eye.
I thought it was a strange ending because of the end credit scenes too. And I was like, okay, she's in Valhalla now. Something's going to happen with this scene. I just know it in my heart. Like, no one convinced me otherwise. I feel like in Secret Wars, like, everyone's coming out of Valhalla that died. Like, you got Black Widow, all like, Iron Man. I don't know. That's how I thought about that scene. It's like, all the superheroes that died.
Right.
All coming out of portals. Because they would outdo the portal scene. Oh, how are you going to do that if you don't bring people that died back? Yeah. Like, the Valhalla scene, that's the only thing that makes sense in my brain.
And Joker, I already expressed how I do not like that film whatsoever. Okay. Joaquin Phoenix is excellent, but it's just a mashup of King of Comedy and Taxi Driver. Ant-Man and Wasp: Quantumanium. Oh my God. Garbage. The only good thing about that movie is Jonathan Majors as Kang, and they completely freaking he got beat by ants. Are you kidding me?
That just tells you how amazing the ants were, though. I thought it was a fun time. I love Paul Rudd.
I just want to stomp on them stupid ants.
If that's how Doctor Doom meets his end, I'm gonna die because that's so funny.
Hey, stop.
At the end of the day, it's always Ant-Man that saves the world. Just remember that.
God, hell, I'm trying to think of some other ones that were really bad that had great performances in it. Okay, Toy
maybe
Story
the second 4, Batman?
Say it again?
Maybe the second Batman? Because Heath Ledger had a really good performance, but it's not a good
movie. Oh, yeah. That film, I think that film is mediocre. But he's like the only good thing about that film.
I don't think an Oscar worthy performance that movie was, but
I truly believe that Nolan should have won an Oscar for Inception before
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he should have won for Oppenheimer. I think Greta Gerwig did a better job, but I think that the award people thought it was just fucking cool that he made a miniature atomic bomb practically, yeah, which is so fucking cool.
And God, Man of Steel. The only thing I like about that film is the villains. Aside from how it looks, I think, the actors that play the villains, like Zod and the rest of his crew, they did absolutely incredible in that role.
I agree with you. I think that's probably one of the best villain performances I've ever seen. But yeah, those are some oddball topics that we had that might be popular, that might be unpopular. But you guys are welcome to tell us what your films are, what you think about this news. But that's episode 12 this week of the Midcasters. I'm Jalen, and you can find me at Lost in Life Translation on Instagram, TikTok. You can find me at Jalen Sanderson on the Twitter. And Sandra loves movies on the letter of the box. And now I'm thinking I should be changing my name so that they all match. But Craig, where can they find you?
You can find me on Letterboxd at Craig Jr. 97, IG on same name, YouTube all Nerd Everything. I'm gonna start posting more film reviews on there, and Tick of the Talk at Craig Jr. 97.
Awesome. But that is episode 12 for this week. Again, I'm Jalen, and this is.
Your favorite film reviewer and comic book reviewer, Craig.
Awesome, guys. Have a good week. Bye-bye.